Welcome to From the Front Porch, a conversational podcast about books, small business, and life in the South. There is exquisite lightness in waking each morning with the knowledge that the worst has already happened. Emily St. John Mandel, The Glass Hotel. I'm Annie Jones, owner of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in beautiful downtown Thomasville, Georgia. And today I'm joined by my friend Robbie Hopkins, a former literature teacher, avid reader, and frequent bookshelf customer. You may know Robbie's wife, Lindsay, as the artistic genius behind the stationery brand Pen and Paint. Lindsay has designed postcards and tote bags and t-shirts and mugs for The Bookshelf. And if you dig deep into the From the Front Porch archives, you'll hear Robbie's first podcast appearance, where he also showcased his musical expertise. Today, we're previewing some spring titles I think should be on your radar, but we're going to do things a little bit differently. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Annie. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so excited.
I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So long. The reason I kind of wanted you on was because we do these kind of seasonal literary previews, but we do them in the store. We do them on the show, but I wanted to do them differently. And I remembered that you love music.
I do love music, and I love all kinds of music, and I love to read, and these things just kind of melt together sometimes perfectly.
Yeah.
And when you approached me about doing this playlist for these books, my musical senses tingled.
Yay.
And I loved it. I had such a good time making this playlist.
Good. Okay. So here's the deal. What we're going to do is we're going to kind of go over some highlights, some spring titles. Robbie has come up with a song for each one, but we should go ahead and kind of let people know, like, you had to do this.
Yeah.
You had to do this with very little information.
These books aren't out. I have not read a single book. So I'm going on 3-paragraph summaries.
Yes.
Like book jacket summaries, basically.
Yeah.
And so it was a challenge, but at the same time, music and books tend to kind of be the same in that we all come to them a little differently. So they carry these major themes.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not going to find a book or a song about a Ponzi scheme, right? All right. So that's impossible.
We got to write it, I think.
But I can find a song about deception and lies or love or where am I in the world right now when life is changing and things like that. So I listen to all kinds of music. I just love, you know, everything from jazz to bluegrass to pop to everything.
Good.
So I wanted to really kind of showcase a lot of genres. So don't shy away if country pops up or if you don't like country, if you don't like indie music or 80s or stuff like that. So it was really about searching out these themes and what song fit the best.
I'm so glad you're here because I love music, but I am notoriously, I'm not a musical tastemaker.
Like, yeah.
I kind of steal the musical tastes of whoever I'm around. Like in high school, I was super into like pseudo punk rock because of like my brother and then one of my good friends in high school.
Wait, let's back that. Annie B. Jones, punk rock.
Yeah.
I love it. Look,
I was so proud. Like my senior year of high school, I wore fake glasses because I thought, like, I was a journalism major, and I was like, that's what you have to do.
Yeah,
and I had, like, this messenger bag that I wrote the lyrics of the Mary Tyler Moore Show theme song on in Sharpie, and I wore...
Nothing says punk rock like Mary Tyler Moore.
Wait, there was a punk rock remake of that song that I listened to religiously. And then I say pseudo punk rock because I really did listen and the emo music, like I was really into Dashboard Confessional was like.
You were a little emo girl, weren't you? Yeah, you.
Except the least emo girl ever. And so anyway, then I listened to a ton of Reliant K. That's why I say pseudo punk rock.
I love Reliant K.
Yeah.
Oh, I met a fellow fan.
Yes.
This is great.
Yeah. So very into them. So I'm glad you're here because if I had to do a playlist for these books, I think it would have been a lot of just what I'm listening to right now, like the Highway Women. Is that the name of the band? They're fantastic. But Taylor Swift, like it just would have been this weird smorgasbord.
Well, that was tough making the playlist because we all have our things that we're just listening to at that moment. And you tend to go to those first.
Yes.
But so I had to start digging a little deeper. Unfortunately, jazz, or maybe fortunately for your listeners, jazz and bluegrass didn't make any of the cuts. So, but I didn't want to push people away. But I think a lot of these songs people will recognize. And after we all get our hands on the books, maybe we can go back and re-listen to these songs and see if I hit it right.
Yeah, I'd love that. So I think it's really fun too. You talked about music and books kind of interweaving with each other. So we did an episode a few weeks ago about the Oscars, and my friend Callie and I talked about movies and how there's so much judgment sometimes from book lovers about, you know, movies aren't as good as the books or whatever. Yeah. And we kind of debated that a little bit. And I feel like music actually can so enhance your reading. Last year, my Spotify, you know how Spotify will do like your top
Your year
songs?
Summary?
Yes. Yeah. So my year summary included a ton of Stevie Nicks and Linda Ronstadt. And I was like, why? And then I remembered that I read the book Daisy Jones and the Six and then went on like a Linda Ronstadt deep dive. And so it's just fun how our reading life can really affect our music life and vice versa.
Last year, Lindsay and I read a biography of Stevie Nicks. And
okay.
So Fleetwood Mac was at the top of our Spotify playlist, along with like Rafi and the Wiggles, because we have a four-year-old who takes over our stuff.
So. Yes. So, okay, let's go ahead and dive in. If you are listening to this episode and you want to hear the music, we, you know, because of copyrights, couldn't play the songs as we wanted to. So we've got a Spotify playlist that you can link to in the show notes. And if as you're listening, you want to go hear a snippet of the song, you can do that there. So go to the show notes and you can tap over to the Spotify playlist.
And real quick, I just want to say that one of the ways that I approached this playlist was, if they made this a movie, what would be that opening song maybe?
Oh, that's such a great question.
Or that closing, the credits are rolling.
Yeah.
Because like we said, I don't know the full plot or the plot twist, which there often are, especially, girl, some of these books, we're going to talk about them. I'm like, what is this book about?
I can't wait to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So the first book is called Separation Anxiety. This is by Laura Zygmunt. It released on March 3rd. So it's been out just about a week now. And look, I picked this one because I'm very into quirky lit. And this felt like the quirky protagonist that I love so much. So her name is Judy. She is kind of undergoing a maybe midlife crisis. Her child is 13. And so maybe she feels like he no longer needs her in the ways that he did previously. She is an art teacher or an art illustrator. I'm sorry. And like has kind of, her job is not what it once was. And the first chapter of this book just opens with her attaching her dog to her in like a baby carrier.
And when I read this, the synopsis of this book, I smiled so big and I was like, this is going to be so much fun.
Right.
And the first song that popped into my head was by Belle and Sebastian, the great indie band for the past 20 years, Belle and Sebastian. And it's one of their first hits or first songs called She's Losing It. And it just popped right in my head. I was like, this would be a great. Now, the song, actual song narrative of the song has nothing to do with about a girl wearing a dog.
Right. But, well, that would be hard to find.
That would be very hard to find. But the chorus does kind of resonate. That kind of like life is getting weird. Life is, you know, kicking me in the tail a little bit.
Yes.
She's losing it, you know, but it's kind of more of it's set to a very poppy tune.
Well, and I appreciate that because here's the thing. I don't think this book is going to be, I mean, it's even the cover is like bright colors. This is not, I don't think, meant to be a depressing story of a midlife crisis. I think it's supposed to be funny and kind of tongue in cheek that this woman is kind of maybe losing the affection of her son and her friendships are a little bit of a mess. Her job's a little bit of a mess. Her marriage is a little bit of a mess. And so to find comfort, she starts wearing her dog. And I'm so glad you smiled so big when you saw this because I started reading this book and I'm really into it. Like it's super kind of dry humor, very much reminds me of the Where'd You Go Bernadette vibes. But I mean, who doesn't want to read a book about a woman?
I think if Judy listened to Belle and Sebastian, she'd feel a lot better walking around with her headphones.
She'd feel seen.
With her dog.
Yeah. Okay. The next book is one of my favorites I've read all year. So it's called All Adults Here by Emma Straub. This book comes out on May 5th. I'm a big Emma Straub fan. I do want to state my friend Kate, who used to work at the Bookshelf, now she works at Bookmarks in North Carolina. She wisely said that this is not a book about dysfunctional families. She thinks what Emma Straub does so well is she shows the hardships and the trials and the frustrations and maybe some of the dysfunction underneath normally functioning families.
I'm so glad you said normally functioning families, Annie, because the song I chose, when the lyrics sounds like you're listening to a dysfunctional family, but then you stop and you go, no, that's my family. And that's everybody's family I know. So I think this song hits the nail on the head as far as the major overall theme of of this book. However, this is, without a doubt, the only playlist on the internet that has Belle and Sebastian followed by Tracy Lawrence, country star Tracy Lawrence with Everything, or Time Marches On.
Oh, yeah, that's a good song.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have to thank my wife for this because she kind of, she wanted to hear some about some of these books because she wants to read them and stuff.
Yeah,
so
she's a big reader.
I was reading this, she goes, that sounds like that Tracy Lawrence song. And we went and listened to it and I was like, wow, everything changes.
Yeah.
You know? And, but everything kind of stays the same. And you just hear about this family that, the daughter, the son, and they eventually all get older and the dad dies. And, but it just, it, there's not a family in our country that couldn't listen to the song and go, yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I love about Emma Straub. She, all of her books, I feel like, cover these kind of same themes. This one, I fell in love with all of the family members, even though there's not really one I could pinpoint and be like, oh, that's like, she's like me or he's like me. All of them are so quirky and interesting. And then but while reading the book, I thought, okay, my family doesn't look like that, but we deal with our problems in similar ways, or we deal with our issues in similar ways. And so I love that Kate mentioned that this isn't dysfunctional family lit. This is more like, this is how a normal family tries to cope and function. And I think the Tracy Lawrence song is perfect.
Yeah, I should clarify that I don't believe all husbands are having affairs and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, there are a lot more women trying to be sexy grandmas and stuff. And he actually, very talented. I was talking to some friends about this song once it came up. I was like, that might be the only song in the world that's rhymed grandma with cholesterol.
Does it really?
Know? And I said, that's some talent, right? That's some
Tracy
country
Lawrence,
talent.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Tracy Lawrence. Okay, the third one, I'm going to be curious what you did with this because there are two nonfiction books on the list. This is the first one. It's Don't Overthink It by Anne Bogle. So Anne Bogle is familiar to probably everyone listening to this podcast. I think if you're an avid reader, you've maybe followed Anne for years, whether on her blog called Modern Mrs. Darcy or through her podcast, What Should I Read Next? She's very popular. This is her new book that released on March 3rd. This does feel slightly like a departure for her, except she wrote her first book called Reading People, all about personality typing. This one is about decision-making and it's almost a workbook. Like Anne kind of shares some insights and then there's questions at the end of every chapter, really about helping people make better decisions. So I'm very curious what direction you took with this.
Yeah. When I read the synopsis of this book, I was very intrigued because I'm actually reading another book. I won't mention the title, more faith-based, but it is all about how your thoughts kind of where your thoughts lead to your actions and can really control your day and how to take charge of that. And so I think this sounds like an outstanding book by her. So I dug deep on this one. There's a lot of millennial songs about you can do it and you're the best. The world has been waiting for you. But there's one song that in the context of this book just fits perfectly. Now the song, people might not like the actual song, but in relation to this book, and it's called Get Back Up, and I'm bringing them back from the 90s, the Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
They haven't gone anywhere, folks.
They're still here.
I know. If I had $1 million way back when we were younger. But Get Back Up is all about, they're older now, obviously. And so one of the singers, the Bare Naked Ladies, writes this song called Get Back Up. And it's all about him. I'm a little bit worse for wear. I've got a little bit more gray hair, but I'm not throwing my hat into the ring. I'm going to. And there's a line in the chorus that it's not about winning or losing. It's about getting back up and keeping going and doing it again and trying to find that new thing that pushes you forward in life.
I like that a lot.
It's really, really good song.
And so it's a newer song by the Bare Naked?
Probably in the last 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
It's definitely one of those songs. In the context of this playlist, it'll just stand out and sound, whoa, what is that?
Yeah.
But trust me, you guys, when you're in that last mile, hit this song and it'll push you to the finish line.
Okay. Well, that sounds great because that sounds exactly like what this book is supposed to do. As somebody who I think notoriously overthinks things, I love this idea of just kind of getting back up and continuing to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And continuing to fight for it anyway. Okay. Next, this book sounds so fascinating. It's called The Silent Treatment. This is by Abby Greaves. It releases on April 7th. It reminds me a little bit of Separation Anxiety and maybe The Quirk Factor, except I started it and found it to be beautifully melancholy, I guess, for lack of a better term. So basically, you have Maggie and Frank. They're this married couple. They have been seemingly happily married for years, but Frank all of a sudden stops speaking to his wife and literally gives her the silent treatment.
I wanted to ask you about this because in what I read was, it made it sound like he literally does not talk to her.
He does not.
I'm turning my back. We're arguing.
Like, no, he does not speak for 6 months. So when the book opens, the opening chapter is really well done because we see Maggie, and I do want to give maybe warnings. This book does deal with attempted suicide and it deals with some kind of darker subject matter. I think it's handled well. But basically the book opens with Maggie, preparing for her death. And Frank winds up coming downstairs and he finds her. This is no spoiler. Like, this is the
opening chapter.
Wow. He comes down and finds her and he calls, essentially 911. It's overseas. The author of this book, I believe, is Scottish. But anyway, he calls emergency services and he can barely get it out because he hasn't spoken to anyone, I think, maybe in 6 months. Like, he stutters through this emergency call. And Maggie survives, but she's in a coma. And the rest of the book, which I think is really interesting, is narrated by Frank. So we get to hear his voice, even though he hasn't used it in 6 months. So I started it today, really like it so far, but it is darker. But it is true that he does not speak at all for 6 months, which I found fascinating.
Well, you used a word there, I think, to describe the entire band that I chose.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to say the word The Smiths.
Okay.
Morrissey, The Smiths. And if I say The Smiths, you know where I'm going with this. This is kind of ironic. It's kind of making, I'm not trying to make light of the subject matter, but Girlfriend in a Coma by The Smiths.
Well, and it's okay to make light of the subject matter because I think the author is too.
And I think, like, I don't know what his motivation is for not speaking.
We don't know either.
Yeah. So I'm in the song, Morrissey is basically talking about my girlfriend's in a coma. I used to want to kill her. I used to want to murder this girl, but now it's gotten serious.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is kind of hitting the nail on the head. Like, you know, maybe she was listening to this song when she wrote this book or something.
Yes. So I think at least the portions I have read, we don't know yet. I think ultimately we might find out like why Frank isn't speaking. The blurb tells us that Maggie knows why he's not talking to her.
Oh.
So I don't know if Maggie has made some kind of mistake or maybe Frank has made a mistake and is punishing himself. I don't know. But I think that's exactly right, where this marriage is clearly in shambles or close, like it's falling apart, but then she winds up in a coma and the game changes
big time. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah. Okay. So that's The Silent Treatment by Abby Greaves. You're on a roll. But I'm going to throw a wrench in your plans.
We have to pause for this because The Glass Hotel, is that where we're going?
Yes, that's where we're going.
Y'all, you know, you love this author, right?
I do.
I've never read anything by...
Oh, you should read Station 11.
Yeah, I've never read. Okay. So I should say that just by reading the synopsis, y'all call me. I will write y'all's synopsis for you. Okay. Help me out. I'm reading words like campgrounds near homeless people and, you know, overseas international shipping conspiracies. And I'm like, what in the world is this book about?
Look, if it makes you feel any better, I actually think you also would find it hard to write a synopsis of this book. So Olivia and I both have now read it. We cannot figure out how to sell this book. We cannot figure out how to describe it to you.
If the publisher can't. But I mean, thank God for podcasts like yours where you can actually talk about it in English. Yeah.
So we love this book, but admittedly, all I keep telling people is it releases on March 24th. If you like the writing style of Station 11, she does not let you down. She's an outstanding writer. It's about a Ponzi scheme and kind of a complicated sibling relationship, like the opposite of Ann Patchett's The Dutch House. And that's it. That's all I've got.
So what I went with is, what band or song, what band is kind of messed up as this synopsis?
Okay.
No band in the history of rock and roll was as messed up, probably on stage and off, as Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
So we went with Little Lies.
Okay.
Christine sings this one, not Stevie. And, you know, all their songs have these kind of inward lyrics. They're singing about the people they're sharing the stage with.
Right.
And this song, or the book, kind of provoked a sense of like there's a lot of deception in this book. The Ponzi scheme by itself, I guess.
Yeah.
And things going on, trying to figure out what this deception is, or the little lies the entire song just fits perfectly. I was like, this could be the soundtrack for this if it's made a movie.
I love that because throughout, I mean, yes, the Ponzi scheme is kind of central, and that's what Olivia and I have kind of decided. I mean, that's really what this book is about, and yet it's not what the book is about at all. It's like The Art of Fielding isn't about baseball. It just happens to be set around baseball.
Yeah.
But it is a book, I think, about deception and about who to believe and also the lies we maybe tell ourselves.
Okay.
So I think that's a good fit.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
That was hard. That was hard.
And full disclosure, I had to look up Ponzi scheme. I know I'm not the only one. I know your listeners did it too.
Okay. Next. Okay. This will also be interesting. This is called How Much of These Hills is Gold by C. Pam Zhang.
Oh, I want to read this book.
It looks so good.
I want to read this book. This is one of the ones on the list that I was just like, okay, pre-order. Let's do this.
Yes. Yeah. So it releases April 7th. It has made like everyone's most anticipated list, like Publisher Weekly, I think maybe Vanity Fair, like a bunch of different magazines. I got to hear this author at Winter Institute. It is her debut novel. Basically, it's turning the concept of the American Western a little bit on its head because it's featuring immigrant children. So they have moved to America. They are going west. It's during the gold rush, the height of the gold rush, but their father and mother both die. And they now are on a quest to bury their father. And it is really mixing. I have not read it. I send it off to Lucy. I hope she has read it. But basically, it's playing with Chinese symbolism too. So it's this American Western, but with Chinese symbolism and kind of this epic story of going west, but again, very different from like maybe the cowboy stories we are used to being told.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that attracted me to what this book is about is the setting. This is not a setting that you just see every day, you know, just placing this kind of immigrant story in the gold rush era is amazing.
Yeah.
But one thing that I picked up on, and a couple of them, I had to go look at some blurbs and things like that. And was this idea of not having a home.
Yeah.
These children, Ba and Ma, have died and they have to they're kind of left on their own and they don't have any sense of home. So I went searching for one song, and every now and then on Spotify or the internet in general, you rabbit trail and you just find something else. So there is a song called Finding Home by Mindy Gledhill.
I love Mindy Gledhill.
She is, and what attracted me and what made me click on it, I had never heard of her, but what made me click on it was her album cover was so beautiful. It was very artistic and very cool. And so I started listening to this song, and it is all about I can't find the breadcrumbs, you know, and the trails that I've taken, and I'm trying to find home.
Oh, that's so great.
You know, so I just thought this song, I did test this one on Lindsay, and she was like, oh yeah, this fits perfectly.
Good.
Fits perfectly.
Well, and Mindy, if I'm not mistaken, Mindy lives out west herself. So I think that's really fun. Like, I think she lives in Utah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good pick. Okay. Then I've got, let's see, Siri, Who Am I? By Sam Cheetah. If you're going to research this book, the author's last name is actually T-S-H-I-D-A, but she pronounces it Cheetah. This releases on May 5th. This is another author I had the opportunity of meeting and hearing about her book at Winter Institute. I think the premise of this is hilarious. It looks just like a really funny laugh out loud novel, except also a social commentary on our current culture. So basically this young woman finds herself coming out of a coma.
A lot of coma.
A lot of coma. So it's kind of a while you were sleeping situation. And in fact, I feel like this book won me over when in the first page, there's a while you were sleeping reference. So I was like, okay, for this.
Yeah.
But she basically wakes up. She has no recollection of like recent memory. So she has memory loss and amnesia, but she can remember, like, for example, she can remember the entire plot of While You Were Sleeping, but she can't remember her own life. And so she uses her phone and she uses Siri and Instagram to kind of figure out where she belongs and what her life is. Only she realizes she's been lying on Instagram.
Yeah, this is one of those that when I read it, I was like, uh-oh, how am I going to find this song? So I cheated a little bit for two of the books.
Okay.
This one is one that I did. And I went with three songs. So the next three songs on the playlist kind of encapsulate what I think would be a great soundtrack for this movie.
Okay.
The first one is by Caroline Smith, and it's called Magazine. I don't know if you remember this song.
I don't.
It's about 6 years ago. And it very much sounds like what I imagine her Instagram feed to look like.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's so cool.
And the second song is Somebody's Baby by Jackson Browne, because okay. she's got to be somebody's baby. Whose baby is she? She doesn't even know.
Okay.
And she's trying to remember who she is. So I just thought this song would fit perfectly. And the last one was because I have some ideas about maybe who we were kind of discussing this at home. I was like, what do you think the real thing is? Who is she really?
Right, who is
she this
really?
Billionaire?
Right.
What was he, you know, was this really love or was, I don't know, for some reason I thought this whole Pretty Woman scheme was happening
yes.
or something like that. So I came up with The Things We Do for Love by 10cc.
Okay.
So
oh, I
how
definitely...
far we will go for... to keep a relationship
yeah.
and things like that.
Yeah, because she's found her Instagram feed shows her home as like this giant mansion that belongs to this billionaire. And then she gets there and the doorman, I think, doesn't recognize her or
oh,
is
really?
Like, what are you doing here? I don't know. But I love this idea because I can actually, so I love movie soundtracks. It's like a fun fact. I feel like you just get a wide range of musical genres sometimes. I love upbeat pop music. And so I can automatically, I feel like, see this movie in my head thanks to those three songs.
Yeah, and I immediately went to the Legally Blonde soundtrack
yes.
because I imagined her kind of looking or
yes.
If you could take Reese and put her in 2020,
yes.
you know, her Instagram feed would look like or
yes.
something like that.
That's exactly right. Oh, that's really good. Okay, so that's called Siri, Who Am I? Which is a great title by Sam Cheetah. Okay, this one, I also was curious what you were going to do. This is the other nonfiction title on the list. It's called After the Last Border by Jessica Goudeau. This releases on April 28th. I cannot wait to read this book. Basically, this journalist, and also this is Jessica Goudeau works in Austin, Texas, among a couple of different refugee organizations. And so it is basically a book all about the changing immigration and refugee policies in America. And how she does this is she follows two families. One is a Christian refugee family who came to Austin, Texas. The other is a Muslim refugee family. But she's showing how the Christian refugee family came, I want to say, in the early to mid-2000s. And the Muslim refugee family came in 2017 or 2018.
Well, a lot has changed
yeah.
those 15 years.
Yes. And so how our policies have changed, why they've changed,
yeah.
how it affects actual people, which I think is what we forget, is that
yeah.
it's affecting
yeah.
people. And so Jessica Goudeau kind of tells these two family stories. So what on earth did you do with this?
Well, the first thing that popped in my head, one of my favorite jazz artists, current jazz artist, is Gregory Porter.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's a vocalist, but such beautiful. Just go look him up. Gregory
okay.
Porter, you'll love everything he does. But him and the hip-hop artist Common
mm-hmm.
slash actor, I believe.
Yes.
They did a song. I think a bunch of artists did it. It's called, I believe it's called Refugee, the Refugee song.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put this on our playlist because the song's not that great.
Yeah.
But it's for a good cause and it's, and
okay.
It's nail on the head, exactly. Raising money for refugees and those kind of things. So
okay.
check that out if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
But the one that I thought that was just had more of a feel for it was, and man, I don't know if now that the more I think about it, I'm like, are we sure? But it's Ride Like the Wind by Christopher Cross. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
I'm not.
You might know his song Sailing. If you heard the song, you would be, yeah, oh, I know this song. It's one of those
okay.
that
you would
heard
recognize
in the
it.
Back seat of your parents' car driving to the beach or something like that back
okay.
in the 80s or whatever. And it's all about, now this, it's about a man on the run,
uh-huh.
but he's in the middle of the night running for his life to the border of Mexico and
oh,
trying to
shit.
Get away. I think he broke the law though,
right.
or something like that. So his story is a little more nefarious than
yes.
these innocent people.
Yes.
But it definitely has that feel that if this was a movie or some kind of documentary,
uh-huh.
this plane in the background would absolutely fit. And any reason I can find to promote Christopher is a reason I have to do it. So it just happened to fit.
Okay. I really like that.
Yeah.
That was also, I feel like that and The Glass Hotel were your two big tests. So
those are very big tests, yes. So forgive me if you don't like that song. I think especially the chorus maybe fits better
okay.
than the rest of the song.
Okay. Next is Afterlife by Julia Alvarez. This releases on April 7th. My publisher rep raved about this book. The main character is Antonia Vega. She is this retired professor. She loves literature, kind of just like maybe for you, music lyrics like play in your head all day. For her, books play in her head all day. Her husband, after she retires, her husband dies unexpectedly, and she does not know then what her, like her future plans have kind of now been ruined. And up on her doorstep shows up this undocumented immigrant, and she's pregnant, and what is she supposed to do? And the kind of line that I can't get out of my head from the blurb of this book is, what do we owe those in crisis? And so it's kind of playing with that theme. So
what I went with, I did also read how she has like a soundtrack in her head.
Yes.
From the books she's read.
Yes.
And that just pulled me in immediately with
yeah.
the musical reference. And this song is totally not about life. And this is a love song about, uh-huh. but Elvis Costello
okay.
compares the writing of a book to falling in love. And every day I write the book. And so I was just thinking that this kind of, this every day, something new, some new challenge is coming to her, very new challenge is coming to her life. And since she's retired,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
And these songs or these books, or like play like a soundtrack in her head. Every day she's writing the book.
And oh, so I love that.
I just went with that.
And that's a good song too.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I really
song.
Like
yeah.
that song. Okay, I've got two more. The first is Deacon King.
And this is the number one book that I can't wait to
Oh, good. To read. Deacon yeah. King Kong, I should say, by James McBride. I love James McBride. This released last week, March 3rd. This takes place in late 60s Brooklyn. James McBride, if you're not familiar, is a National Book Award winning novelist. I got to hear him live in Tallahassee a couple years ago. He is amazing, a true literary genius, and also, fun fact, musical genius. Like, he plays with a gospel band.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is wow. really cool.
Okay.
But this book is basically what happens to the witnesses of a shooting. It takes place where this kind of deacon in a church goes and just kind of shocks everyone by going and shooting this drug dealer.
Now imagine that opening scene, right?
Okay, yes.
And in the background, you have the song, I hope you know it, Shotgun by Junior Walker and the All-Stars. It's from the 60s.
Okay, I don't know.
And it was a Cosby theme song
okay.
at one point, one of those kind of songs.
Okay.
Once you click on this song, if you're not familiar with it, in 2 seconds, you're going to go,
oh, you'll recognize
that
it.
That song,
yeah.
Shotgun. I'm not going to say it, sorry. And it just, I was like, wow, this would be a great song
okay.
for that scene.
Because that is the opening scene. That
oh, really?
Is, like, that is the opening scene of the novel. It's just the shooting. And then the whole rest of the book is what happens to all the witnesses, what happens to the people of this guy's church, what happens to the drug dealer's family, what happens to the white neighbors in
yeah,
this 60s Brooklyn.
Everyone.
Yes.
Look, Hollywood, if you made this to a movie, call me, hit me up. We'll do the soundtrack.
Okay. That sounds great. All right. Last one.
Oh.
This one I picked because I'm really intrigued by Emily Gould, the author. She wrote a book a few years ago called Friendship. But I also felt like this would be right up your alley. So it releases on April 14th. It's called Perfect Tunes. And to me, this feels like Daisy Jones and the Six, Almost Famous and High Fidelity meet like Emma Straub and her stories about New York and families. This young woman is like this aspiring singer. She falls in with kind of this guy who's not great for her. And then years later, her daughter starts asking questions.
This book sounds so good. And this was the easiest. I had to cull this list. I said, I can't get rid of these three songs because
okay.
they fit so perfectly. New York, New York by Ryan Adams. This song was actually released right around the time the towers fell. So it's right in that wheelhouse of the setting when the book
yep,
opens.
Yep, that's right. The book
and
opens.
It's all
in
about
the
how sense. I love you, New York. And then The Wildness by Joey Kanizer. I'm just going to read you one line from
okay.
this song. Rock and roll doesn't lie. You just don't want to know the truth. They loved you more when you were young before you had so much to lose.
Oh, that's good.
And then finally, we're going to end this playlist with, and this goes out to Trey and Jason, my former podcast hosts, Somewhere Along the Way by Dawes. This is about a girl who's trying to make it, and somewhere along the way, things just kind of fell
oh,
to,
that
fell
sounds
apart.
Perfect.
It is absolutely perfect.
That sounds
it really
great.
Is the perfect song for this book.
Yay. Okay. I think this playlist sounds amazing. I'm actually going to go listen to it now, I think.
Great. Yeah. So I hope everyone, and I love to hear feedback, and I'm sure there's a million better songs because there's just infinite Spotify songs out there to check out. But I hope we did good.
I think so. And I think you really tackled, I almost think it's better that you hadn't fully read the books.
I agree 100% because I was basing it on the themes of the book or just the little snippets I got, where if I had so much invested in one of these novels, it might have been so much harder to do.
You might have overthought it.
My ignorance. Ignorance is bliss in this
yes,
case.
Yes, so. I think so too. Okay. From the Front Porch is a weekly podcast production of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in South Georgia. You can follow The Bookshelf's daily happenings on Instagram at BookshelfTville, and all the books we've talked about on today's episode can be purchased online through our store website, that's bookshelfthomasville.com. Today's playlist can also be found on Spotify. Click in the show notes for further listening. Special thanks to Dylan and his team at Studio D Production for sound and editing, and for our theme music, which sets the perfect warm and friendly tone for our Thursday conversations. This week, I'm starting the book Most Likely by Sarah Watson, the creator of The Bold Type. Looks like a fantastic young adult novel. Very excited. Robbie, what are you reading?
In honor of our first president's birthday, Nathaniel Philbrick's George Washington, Benedict Arnold, and the Fate of the American Revolution is called Valiant Ambition. He is, the History Channel just released a 3-part miniseries on Washington.
Oh, cool.
The girl who wrote the Washington book you mentioned last episode, she's actually one of the people in it.
Oh, yay. So, I feel like her book is called You Never Forget Your First.
You Never Forget Your First. Yeah, they interview Nathan Philbrick. They interview her, a lot of other Joseph Ellis people like that for this. So if you like the literary therapy that you gave about nonfiction and you're into history, this is definitely one to check out right now.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you.
If you liked what you heard on today's episode, tell us by leaving us a review on iTunes, or if you're so inclined, you can support us on Patreon, where you can hear our staff's weekly New Release Tuesday conversations, read full book reviews in our monthly Shelf Life newsletter, follow along as Hunter and I conquer a classic, and receive free shipping on all your online orders. Just go to patreon.com/from the front porch. We're so grateful for you, and we look forward to meeting back here next week.